July 26th Energy Institute. My name is Nora, and I am interviewing my grandparents. Katie and Bruce.
I'm Nora's grandmother. My name is Katie Helling.
And I'm Nora's grandfather. My name is Bruce Helling.
Okay. So, what are your ages?
We're both 70 years old.
Okay. Where did you guys grow up?
We both grew up in Oshkosh, not Wisconsin, not very far from each other, about 8 blocks away from each other.
What did you know about energy growing up?
We didn't think much about energy growing up. We just kind of took things for granted. When I look back on what we might have known if we had thought about it back then was that we did a good job of using things more than once. For example, we had a milk service. The milkman came to our house every 2 or 3 days and brought fresh bottles of milk and took the old bottles away to be cleaned and used again. And that happened throughout my childhood.
What about you, Bruce?
Well, I agree that we didn't think as much consciously about energy, but energy wasn't as large a part of our lives as it is today. We, you know, our family had one car. We walked everywhere. We used mass transit because we needed to use mass transit. We recycled in a very pure way, as your grandmother explained. We didn't just grind up old cans and bottles. We reused them. Systemically in the economy, so we just didn't think about it that much. We walked to school. Nobody took us to meetings after school because they didn't have it. My mother didn't have a car at her beck and call. My dad had it at work. So we in the summer we would get around town on our bicycles. We didn't have parents carting us off to swimming lessons and whatever else. We lived in more closely knit neighborhoods where we could walk to things. We weren't spread out all over the place. It's over the course of our lifetimes that we've seen a massive increase in our energy consumption because of items that have really made our lives much, much more convenient, but they've also had a cost, and they've had a severe cost in terms of energy use, and that's pretty much happened over the course of our lifetimes.
Well, you kind of just answered this question, but what changes have you seen since your childhood in energy?
In energy? I was going to mention, if you don't mind, that it's true we only had one car as well, and there were 5 of us. So even from kindergarten on, we walked to school, and we lived a half mile from school, and we came home for lunch, so we ended up walking 2 miles a day to and from school, which was good, healthy. Because we didn't have a second car, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and there were services that delivered products to people's homes. For example, we had a bread service, the Omar man, and every 3 days or so he would come to the door with breads and rolls and things like that, and a dry cleaning service similarly would come and deliver your dry cleaning. So instead of having 50 people get into a car and drive to a bread store or drive to the dry cleaners, you had one person going to several different homes, so it was kind of time intensive for that one person. But when you think about it, it saved a lot of energy overall.
Yes.
When we needed, my parents would go grocery shopping once a week, and they'd take the car to go grocery shopping. In between that, if they needed something, almost every neighborhood had a corner grocery store. And, the way you would handle your needs in between those shopping trips was to send a kid down to the corner grocery store to get whatever it is you needed. For that day, and there we would walk, and they were all over the place. every two or three blocks there'd be a corner grocery store.
I remember in summer the farmers would fill the back of a pickup truck with corn and go down the streets and come to the door and say, would you like a dozen ear of corn or two dozen ears of corn? So again, it was people coming to your home to provide those services and not everybody climbing into a car and driving somewhere.
So you lived through the increase in gas prices in the 70s. What do you remember about the 1970s energy embargo or why it happened?
I remember distinctly all the time we were growing up, and I was beginning to drive, and all through our Navy years, back in the late 60s and early 70s. Gasoline was pretty reliably between 20 and 25 cents a gallon. And it was 1973, 1974, when there was an Arab oil embargo that put a great big old halt in the flow of petroleum into the United States refineries, and almost overnight, the price of gasoline doubled to over 50 cents a gallon. And that really turned the screws on the entire transportation industry. All of a sudden, our big old gas-guzzling cars started getting replaced by very, very small, much more fuel-efficient models. And it changed the auto industry overnight. It changed the way people used energy, the way they thought about energy. People became much more conscious of conserving energy resources than they had been. In time, the problem was resolved, and people seemed to forget.
When did you first hear about the renewable energy sources?
Well, I don't remember exactly hearing about that. It seems to have been something that's been in the public vernacular for a while now. I think any thinking person has to be concerned about where plastic bottles are going and plastic food containers, and when you think of how much of that type of trash that just one household produces, and then multiply that by hundreds of millions, it's pretty sobering, and we have to do something about that more than is already being done.
Yes. So what were your thoughts about renewable energy when you first heard about it?
I remember when I started reading about solar projects in California and Arizona and New Mexico, simple and easy and a reliable source of energy, and hearing about wind farm projects on the Great Plains and thinking, you know, these are all great ideas, but, you know, it's going to take forever. You know, there's forever for this technology to reach us here in the dark and stormy and much less windswept farmlands of Wisconsin. So thinking that, yeah, this is great, but we got to find another answer, because this doesn't strike me as being practical in our lifetimes.
Well, and then there were people that really didn't care or didn't appreciate the gravity of the situation. They just pretty much thought of themselves and not the bigger picture of the environment and the world around us.
And there also, when we were young, it was a period when there was a lot of hope being put in nuclear energy as a power source. It seemed to have a lot more promise than did wind or solar, just because it seemed to be closer to the types of energy plants that were already up. I mean, the technology, generation technology, was different, but the plant structure was more similar, and that seemed to hold a lot of promise. And then we had incidents, Three Mile Island and Chernobyl, that scared everybody, and that's when attention really started turning to wind and solar, I think.
What are your hopes for our generation and how we make and use energy.
Wow. I hope that a lot changes for your generation, and I think I see young people being change agents, many of them. I think there's a growing appreciation that things really have to change, and young people are growing up with that attitude that things have to change and are more willing to do it than someone who didn't worry about it for 50 years and then suddenly is being told that they have to do things very differently from what they've always done.
There, you were old enough to remember when a lot of these concerns weren't concerns because we didn't abuse the resources. Our technology didn't allow us to abuse the resources. So over the course of our lifetimes, we've enjoyed technology that has allowed us to abuse the resources, and we have. Now, your generation is faced with the problem of unwinding what happened over the course of our lifetimes to the extent that it makes sense. And I trust that you guys are gonna have the wisdom to know, to figure out where we've gone too far and where further progress can solve the problems as opposed to going back. I hope you don't have to go backwards.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when we first started having plastic food containers and plastic bottles. It would have been
1970s, 1980s.
So we were well into our 20s. But prior to that, soda, milk, beer, things like that all came in glass containers. And when you put something in the refrigerator, there weren't plastic containers to put it in, so you put it in a glass container. Today there are problems with plastic, not only what's in them and what might be harmful to people, but also the resources it takes to make them and the fact that they don't biodegrade. So that was a pivotal change, I think, when we look at energy and the problems we face today.
Yeah, recycling, when we were young, didn't mean grinding something up and remanufacturing. It meant reusing.
Mm-hmm.
So we would take a glass bottle and clean it and put more beer or milk in it, not grind it up and make new glass.
And when you bought products like that, often there, I think you mentioned before, often there was an additional charge on a deposit charge,
sure,
like as much as 5 cents a bottle, which was a lot of money then. And you paid that 5 cents a bottle extra in addition to what it cost you to buy things in glass, and you got the 5 cents a bottle back only if you took those empty bottles in. So you weren't too likely to just throw it away. That was like throwing money away.
Yeah. Well, thank you.